Welcome back to Adventure. I'm your Dungeon Master, Bobby Shortle, and I'm here with Jackie Turner.
Hello.
Bob Ryer.
Ahoy!
And Mr. Brian Verderosa.
Sup, girl.
All right, so if you guys didn't listen to our Dungeon Master or Player 101 with Mara, go back and listen to those if you want to know how to play D&D. But if you're just looking to hear people play D&D, you're probably going to be disappointed because we're not going to be that good at it.
This is the wrong place.
Yeah, this is not the podcast for you. But
if you've always wanted to,
yes,
and you're like us,
yeah,
then you can listen along to us.
Absolutely. So
or
I should
if
say
you're fans of just us.
Yeah.
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 Is that true?
Yeah, there are.
Yes, there are.
Definitely. I should say yourselves. Too.
That there are dozens of us. Dozens of us.
Literally dozens.
Yeah. That.
Hi, Ross.
That if that from now on, I'm doing a regular intro in this episode. From now on, we really want to have regular intros because it kind of breaks the sort of like role playing aspect. Mm-hmm. I will do like a pre-recorded like previously on, you know, Adventure. And then
Yeah.
And so people can catch up. But I wanted to go over because this is our first time playing. We just got online with Mara. But I want to go over kind of me as a dungeon master, like what I want to do, like what my expectations are and, you know, what I want from you guys and what I expect you guys to ask and want from me as well. Cause it is a reciprocal sort of relationship. It's my first time doing it too. So I'm going to need, you know, help along the way. But, one of the things that I want to stress is there's a lot of rules, obviously a lot of numbers that we're going through, and that's fine. And I'm excited about that stuff, about the systems. But for me, the creativity is sort of the thing I'm most excited about and sort of the interperson sort of communication and ribbings or serious stuff or whatever it turns into. So you will get big bonus points with me for being creative. That's going to be a big thing for me. And we didn't talk about this actually when we talked with Mara, but there's something on your character sheet and it's called inspiration.
I was wondering why that was blank.
So inspiration is a discretionary point I can hand out to anybody at any time. You can only have one at a time, so you can't like stockpile inspiration. But if you do something particularly cool, or you know, you do something very creative or whatever it is, I might go like a one inspiration to you. And that means you get advantage on a roll. So that means when you choose to use it, you can roll two D20s instead of one. Yeah. And you just call it out and you do it.
That sounds monstrously advantageous.
Yes, absolutely. And again, I can guarantee you as we go along, we're all going to be getting rules wrong. We're all going to be asking questions. I plan on doing more post work in this sort of podcast than I've ever done before on purpose, because I want to make sure we cut out any of like the, let me look in the book kind of stuff. So I'm going to try my best.
So it kind of flows like an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I bet you as we go along, it will flow naturally way.
Can you add music and sound effects?
I will add some music.
And sound effects.
Maybe not sound effects. Maybe on our finales of our adventures.
Roaring like fire and axe blows.
I want to hear, if we come across a chest, I want to do, 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 do.
That's not going to, that doesn't take a lot of work, Jackie. I'm not going to go add sound effects to like a creaking hour and a half episode.
Me and Bob will stand there, we're like, washing.
Jackie, Bobby prefers to write in a script, this happens, then someone else does that work.
Exactly, that's my main goal. And the other thing I want to say to you guys too is, I'm going to make stuff difficult. I'm not going to make stuff too difficult, but I'm going to, as we go along, I'm going to gauge the difficulty because I want it to be fun still. If it's too easy, it's not going to be fun. Another thing I want to say to you guys too, and this I think will develop after we do this little prologue adventure that we're doing. And for this prologue adventure, I'm going kind of right off of the starter set adventure, which is the Lost Mine of Fandivler. I'm going to say a lot of names wrong during this time too.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, we'll have the chance to kind of diverge to do other things. What I want to say is make sure your characters have flaws. All right. Mm-hmm. Because that'll make things more interesting and more fun.
Yeah.
Jackie, we kind of already came across a flaw of your character in the last one.
I'm basically Drex the Destroyer.
Yeah. Which I think will be great. But like, you know, Mara, I said this in my Dungeon Master thing, is like one time, you know, somebody just decide, like a player's like, my character's really stupid. And everything they do will reflect that, you know, and it just makes things more fun. Or they're like sort of like a fire bug. You know, they set things on fire for no reason or, you know, or whatever, you know, it might be. That those things will develop as we go along.
A whole little box for flaws.
Exactly. It'll take 3 or 4 sessions probably to really get that down. But I think once we kind of get there, it'll make things a lot of fun. Don't be afraid to be jokey and funny. I wouldn't say don't force it. That's the only thing I would say. Just let it happen as it happens. And that's about it. You know, feel free to talk amongst yourselves, you know, ask me questions, whatever you need to do. But I think we should get going. So there will be some music here.
Okay.
Howard Shore.
Oh, so we should talk about this though. We should talk about this. We need names for your characters. I need to be able to call you names. So I need to write this down actually before we jump into this. Jackie, what's your name?
Thrice.
Do you have a last name, Thrice?
No.
Wait, Thrice, like the band?
Thrice.
Thrice, like Kara Thrice from Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Thrice.
That's exactly the inspiration.
Yeah, of course.
Hendley.
Like in Don?
Like the t-shirt?
No, Bob gets it.
Like Don Hendley?
No, Hendley. H-E-N-D-L-E-Y.
Okay. And any last name, Brian?
Nope.
I'm going to call you... Little penis. No.
Hendley Little Penis. We could do L-I-L-P-E-E-N, Lil Peen.
Okay, yeah. I like it. Lil Peen.
Hendley Lil Peen.
Lil Peen. All right, Bob, what's your name?
Julian Wingate.
Oh, now that's an awesome name. That's a fucking name.
All right, is there a D or no D?
It's Wingate, right? Wingate.
I mean, if you want to make a W-Y-N-D, Wingate.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I like that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's excellent.
That was Brian with a mouthful of beer going, that's such a good idea, right?
Julian Wingate.
Isn't that what that noise was?
So we have Julian.
That was 100% correct.
We have Julian Wingate, the human wizard.
Yes.
We've got Hendley Littlepeen.
Nope. L-I-L.
Lil.
Sorry, Littlepeen. Who's the half elf rogue. Mm-hmm. And we've got Thrace, who is the dragonborn fighter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Good to know about that. All right, there we go. And let's talk about this really quick. This is very immediate history. How do you all know each other? Cause we're starting, you guys are together on an adventure.
Okay. Well, I personally do not know the area or the people or anything. I simply happened upon them in a bar. Whilst I was looking for a companion for an adventure. Just because. Because
she likes to bust up stuff.
Exactly.
Bob, what about you? How did you come across? Are you and Brian like old friends?
I'm old. Old-ish. I have sort of found myself in this weird town and place that I'm not completely familiar with. But through my odd magey skills... I managed to make friends rapidly, but some of them are not quite so friendly.
All right. Brian, so knowing this, so Jackie met you two in a bar after you already had been acquainted somehow.
Yes, I assumed that they knew each other.
Right. So, and Bob has come here. He's kind of confused about how he got here a little bit. He's making friends, but not necessarily all the best friends. How did you come across Bob, Brian?
I tried lifting his wallet.
Try lifting his wallet? Okay.
Oh my goodness.
I like that.
Julian. Oh, Julian.
Excuse me there. Can I have that?
He was just kind. He just did this thing where you just went, you know, you just ask me. Ask me for the money.
I have given you some. I'll buy you a pint.
Bought me a pint and a quart.
So...
And fast friends.
So let's say that was a couple of months ago. You guys know each other a couple of months, not a couple of years.
14 years.
14 years.
14 years. No,
a fortnight.
We know him a fortnight.
A couple of weeks.
Feels like 14 years.
Feels like 14 years.
That's
so
magic.
A couple
of
weeks. So he tried to rob you. You took kindness on him. You saw some potential. In this little peen.
He's very kind. He's very kind.
He's down on his luck.
Yeah, on this little peen, you took some
pity.
So you guys are together. You guys are looking to make some money. Brian's probably looking. I mean, not Brian. Sorry, I got to. Henley's looking for some money. Obviously. So you're looking for adventure for that reason. I'm pretty sure that Julian's looking for adventure for other reasons. He's got some plans.
I have.
And Thrace just wants to bash people's heads.
Exactly.
In.
And they
which
just,
is a good plan.
They look like they needed some muscle.
Yeah. And if there's some money involved in it, that's pretty okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty okay.
Yeah.
So
you're sort of like Chewbacca.
It's mainly I don't really have much purpose right now.
Right.
So looking for a purpose.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get into that later on why you don't have any purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well,
all right. So while you were in the bar. All right, you're in Neverwinter. You're Neverwinter, which is a very big city. Mm-hmm. It's a bustling city. It's a metropolis. Lots of shops. Lots of nice areas. Had its bad areas too, of course. Probably where Henley's hanging out. But beautiful wide streets. You know, like very cosmopolitan in places. Good food. You know, very very well to do. You know, the closer you can see to like a Manhattan of this world. Mm-hmm. All right. While you're in Neverwinter, and this is why actually they're looking for muscle right here. Mm-hmm. Cause in the city of Neverwinter, a dwarf named Gundren Rockseeker asked you to bring a wagon load of provisions to the rough and tumble settlement of Phandalin. Mm-hmm. A couple of days travel southeast of the city. Gundren was clearly excited and more than a little secretive about his reasons for the trip, saying only that he and his brothers had found something big, and that he'd pay you 10 gold pieces each for escorting his supplies safely to Barthen's Provisions in Phandalin, a trading post in Phandalin, and then set out ahead of you on horse. So he's not with you. He set out ahead of you on a horse.
He's not with the Provisions.
No, he's not with the Provisions, along with a warrior escort named Sildar Howlwinter, claiming he needed to arrive early to take care of business.
Okay. I gotta take care of business.
You spent the last few days following the high road south from Neverwinter, and you've just recently veered east along the Tribor Trail. You've encountered no trouble so far, but the territory can be dangerous. Bandits and outlaws have been known to lurk along the trail. So, sorry, this is Brian speaking or Henley?
Henley.
Okay. No, you wanted to ask me a question, didn't you, Brian?
No. Okay. Just sounds like we're a bunch of transporters.
Oh, there he goes. Late 90s, mid 2000s.
Why don't you just call yourself Statham and go with that?
Wait, is that Thrace talking to him? Because if Jason Statham exists in this world, that's okay, but we just hate that.
True. Jason Statham exists in every world. Have you not seen one?
Seen one little pain, seen them all.
So we need to... So we need to establish who's... So there's a wagon.
Okay.
So one of you should be driving the wagon, most likely. The other two can be walking alongside it. There could be two on the wagon, one walking alongside. What do you got? What do you think? Who'd be driving the wagon?
I'm walking.
You're walking.
I'm definitely walking.
Walking for muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and walking for muscle.
So I'm...
I'll drive.
So Henley's going to drive.
I trust him driving.
Yeah, no, I don't trust him.
No, because he could just take off if there's a sign of trouble. He's like the least trustworthy one out of all of us.
Yeah. You don't know that yet, though.
I do. We tried to pick my pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He tries to pick his pocket. He sounds dodgy. Like, I don't know.
You can walk.
I would rather,
or you can ride in the back with the sheep.
I'd rather Julian ride. Julian is driving.
Oh, Julian. So Thrace just decided Julian is driving.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Henley?
It's fun.
So Henley, let me ask you, are you sitting alongside Julian in the cart, or are you walking along? What are you doing?
I'm watching out, you know, just sitting there, shotgun, just watching out.
You call shotgun?
All right, so you got Henley riding shotgun, Julian driving, and Thrace, so you're walking...
I'm walking behind.
Okay.
They're taking the lead because, you know, they can see trouble, they're up high. But I want to make sure no one's coming up behind us. Okay. I want to make sure I can see them at all times and they're not behind me.
Okay. So just so you know, what you've got in this cart behind you right now, there's a dozen sacks of flour, several casks of salted pork, two kegs of strong ale, shovels, picks, and crowbars, about a dozen each.
Sounds like Goodfellas.
Yeah. Five lanterns and a small barrel of oil, about 50 flasks in volume. The total cargo is worth about 100 gold pieces.
And how much is he paying us?
10 each.
10 each.
So he's paying us like a third of the value of the goods to escort us.
I think there's something dodgy about
it. Jackie, your name again?
Thrace.
Uh-huh. 100% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
Thrace, why don't you explain your point better to Henley?
Okay, my point, Henley. Little pain. My point is, why would you pay someone a third of the value of all the goods you're transporting? You're not going to make any profit on that. There's got to be something more to this cargo than what it looks like.
or ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, I'm saying I want to get paid.
You don't care? You don't care that we might be walking into trouble with something we don't even know?
No. I mean, it's a job. Do the job.
Did you broker this deal, Henley?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not so sure about
that. I know him.
So you know Gundren?
Gundren and I go way back.
You didn't say Gundren, that before we took the job.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have.
Well, Gundren, he's a good bloke.
Says who, you, that I just met in a bar?
Who tried to pick my pocket?
Yeah.
Let's be fair. You're walking with me.
No, I'm walking behind you.
Yeah, that's...
Ish.
I'm behind you. I can see you, buddy.
That's fine.
You'll watch
If you don't trust me, walk away. Walk away. Why won't you walk away?
She trusts
me.
Because she trusts me.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
That's fine. Yeah. And I trust you. So we're all friends.
That's not how that works.
Let's just see where this goes.
He does right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how it goes indeed.
Yeah, this first like 14 seconds of this is working great.
Yeah, you've been on the Tribor Trail for about a half a day.
Julian's driving. I'm sitting in the shotgun. You're walking along. We got the cargo. It's all fine.
Yeah, I've seen this movie before.
As you come around a bend, you spot two dead horses sprawled about 50 feet ahead of you, blocking the path. Each has several black feather arrows sticking out of it. The woods press close to the trail here, with a steep embankment, dense thickets on either side.
Yeah. That looks like a trap.
So...
Henley, what do you know about this?
You got me?
I don't know. But here's the thing. There's how it goes. So if you want to know more about it...
Oh, yeah.
One of you has to investigate what's going on. So that would be whoever has, you know, investigation is a skill that is on there. I think it pertains to wisdom, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say that Jackie is not the person, or Thrace is not the person.
I see two large cows with arrows sticking out of them.
Lunch.
So
look, I'll go out there.
I trust
Julian.
Right. Well, let's all roll a wisdom check because you can all roll it, and I'll tell each of you what each of you sees.
Now, Bobby, how we do that?
Okay.
So you roll a d20.
Okay.
The big boy.
Yeah.
Each of us do.
Yeah. So Bob, you first.
On 11.
11 plus. And a wisdom check. Do you have a modifier on that, Bob? You must, right?
My wisdom modifier is +2, and we're looking at intelligence. Is that where we hit, or no?
Wisdom investigation. Yeah.
Two.
So, and are you proficient in it? No. So just two. So you rolled a what, Bob?
11.
No, it's a 3.
Oh, it's a 3?
Yeah, you're looking at investigation.
Investigation? It's a 3, yes.
It's a 3.
14.
So it's 14. So yeah. Bob rolled a 14. So, Bob, that's a pretty good number. I just say, Bob. Julian, it's a pretty good number. Yes. So you look and you see the horses. They've got arrows sticking out of them. The arrows are, you know, they're not.
Are they well crafted?
They're not well crafted. They look like somebody would craft them, like in a
like bandits
in the dark, or you know, like in some place where they're just throwing them together. They make a lot of these things. It looks like, and they don't take a lot of care in how they make them.
Okay.
You also notice that sort of around the horses and the brush on the side. The brush seems a little bit kind of matted a little bit. It doesn't seem like exactly the same on both sides. One side looks a little bit more disturbed than the other. You also notice that the bags, seem to be bags, saddlebags on there, and they seem to be deflated. You're still 25 feet away, so you can't really tell, but
it's a glimpse.
But
it looks like they're empty.
It looks like they could be empty. So the way this kind of works is I'm telling Bob this. So you guys technically don't know it, you know. So
okay.
He would have to share that information with you, just so like you couldn't make an action based on what I just said to him.
Okay, all right.
I should make a decision. We should discuss.
Yeah,
Bobby.
You can
question then is, what is the virtue of you telling him in public? Like the way that you're doing it right now, I mean, we're doing a show, of course, but like, there's no other way for you to get him that info without us hearing it.
Yeah, no, but
in a game,
but that doesn't
right?
matter because he can share it with you very easily, right. Because you're not playing against each other, right? So like Jackie, Brian, and Bob can hear stuff, and they can choose, like characters, not to know it. So there might be a thing where like, let's say Brian decides he wants to pickpocket Thrace, and he rolls his thing and he pickpockets. Of course, Jackie will know that she got pickpocketed, right. But Thrace won't know. So that's information that would have to come out some other way.
Just try it, asshole.
Super dick question. Capital S, capital D. Mm-hmm. Thrace, are you male or female?
I'm female.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's kind of hard to tell. Mm.
Unless you're another dragonborn.
Yeah, unless you're another dragonborn.
Right, right.
My chainmail does not have breastplates or anything, so it's tough.
As a pickpocket, you know, there are things you don't touch. That's all.
Exactly. So
again, with this information, I want to call my
of course.
Team here together.
And we can also ask if any of you want
to
roll.
Yeah, is there any downside to me rolling?
No, not at all. Okay, there's no downside.
For the sake of playing, I'm going to roll.
Yeah, roll. Yeah. What's your wisdom modifier?
-1.
Okay.
I got 13.
Wow.
So I got 12.
You still did pretty well. That's still a pretty good roll.
Okay.
So from here, it's tough to tell. You know, it's tough to tell what's going on necessarily.
Okay.
But you can tell that the horses are... They're not freshly dead. They've been dead probably about a day.
Okay.
And it's clear that the arrows killed the horses.
Yep.
That was the murder weapon. What were the arrows? That's all you can tell from here.
Okay.
So, yeah. Brian, do you want to roll a wisdom?
Can I just say something that you've heard this a million times, but like we've known each other for a long time, and you've done a lot of endeavors. And I go along with you all the time. But you know sometimes that I just say yes to say yes for no reason.
Yes, I'm aware of this.
Kind of did that with this. But when I started reading up this morning and reading this afternoon and reading this evening before we recorded, I got the biggest hard-on for this whole thing. I start explaining to Courtney what I'm doing, and she just stops listening after the first sentence. She's like, nope! but her first sentence was, I actually thought I would like Dungeons. I mean, you would. It's so cool. Here's why. Here's what I'm doing. And she's like, nope. Dorkiest thing ever. Go away.
All right, roll your investigation check.
3.
What you get?
It's a one.
You literally look the wrong way. Right. You turn around and you look the wrong way. And you go see. You say, I don't see no dead horses. What you all talking
amazing,
about?
Amazing. Good job, Henry. Little Pink.
Are we back in it? Or what's going on?
We're back in it. Right. So now you have a choice. Now you see that. Now, actually, you guys want to discuss what you guys saw as in character. I go ahead.
Well, I'd say it looks like an ambush, but it looks like.
Why is that your voice, Jackie?
That's my voice.
Why is it the Lil same Pink. Voice?
Got to make it a little gruffer or something.
Jackie, can you just do a bad American accent?
I can't the whole time. If I could, I would.
British
but
accent's
I can't.
Good. British accent's good.
Okay. All right. How about the radio play voice?
Okay.
Remember the radio
sure.
play
yeah.
voice?
Yeah.
Oh, he's really off paying.
Yeah, Henley's just.
Okay.
Look,
well, I can't remember what I was going to say now.
Oh, about the ambush.
It's an ambush.
So I think it probably is an ambush.
Oh, you it think makes, so?
And you notice.
Hey, Henley, you're not looking the right way.
stop bothering people who know. Go sit with the kids, all right? The grown-ups are talking here.
Henley.
I'll watch our
now, Julian. Yeah. Julian, the arrows are not recent. The horses have been dead a while.
And they're also very thrown together. So this could just be some punks in the woods. But
I don't think we have too much to worry about. But
I would. Could you move to the front of the cart here, just a little bit of protection?
I say Henley goes first. Henley can sneak up there and have a look and see if Henley has the balls to do that.
I don't think that's one of his big attributes, but let's try it.
Well, his nickname is Lil Peen, so I should imagine Lil Balls is right there.
Small balls, Lil Peen. Okay,
Henley, since you weren't paying attention before, were you just paying attention to that? Go see what's going on over there, will you?
Yeah. So, Henley, are you're proficient in stealth?
Yes,
he's stealthy. Character.
So you have what, like a +3 or something in stealth? I think probably.
It's a 2.
The 2?
And he's good on sneak attack.
Okay, so what you can try to do is you can try to stealth up there and investigate there if you want to do that. you know, you can just walk up if you want. You know, it's up to you what you want to do.
Let's see what you're made of, Henley.
Could be a good test.
Yes, it could.
So what do you want to do, Henley?
I'm going to walk up straight away.
You're just going to walk up straight away?
Henley, don't you think you should maybe sneak?
A little bit of sneak. A little
listen,
bit of stealth.
Listen, all you do all day is walk around my fucking thing. Just walk next to me while I'm heading out.
So you're gonna walk up to the dead horses with the arrows in them.
Henley, does that seem like the best idea to you?
Y'all look at them.
Y'all?
Y'all? The south of England, apparently.
All right, fine.
So you're gonna try to stealth up here?
I'm gonna take a look.
Henley, could you sneak a look?
Henley, come on. Is Henley. It Trace? What's your name?
Thrace.
Thrace.
Could you at least
it's
have the
Trace,
respect?
But to, less douchey.
Let's have the respect to remember my name, Henley Lil Peen.
To be fair, you said it perfectly.
Henley
sneak.
You're gonna sneak up. Sneak.
Voting is for sneak.
I'm gonna sneak up there.
Okay.
See those bushes? Yeah, a little matted down. Not quite natural. I think there's someone been there.
Oh, Henley, if you lived where I was from, you would be cleaning my shoes right now.
So let me.
Is that Jackie or Thrace talking?
Both.
It's a little bit of both.
So, Brian.
Yes.
What do you want your character to do? Do you want them to sneak up the side of the road and along the other bushes? Do you want to kind of sneak up just along the side of the road, not in the bushes? What do you want to do?
What I'd like to do is go back maybe 100 yards and flank it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you
kind of want go back down the road we came and just do a loop.
Okay.
Now that is using your brain.
That's good. That's good. So make a stealth check on that one, Brian. So you roll a d20,
yep.
And you add your stealth modifier to it.
It's a 15. Okay, right. Shut up.
17. Yes. 17. That's very, very good.
And then where do I mark that?
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to mark anything.
Nowhere. It's in-game.
Nowhere. Yes. In-game, exactly.
Well so done, Henley.
You are like a panther in the brush. You run backwards. You jump into the brush, and it's like you're gone. Neither Thrace nor Julian can tell where you are, and you just sort of like scurry up the side, going very, very silently, very quietly, and you end up basically, you know, 10, maybe 5-10 feet from the bodies of the horses, but you're concealed behind the brush. So you're up there now.
Perfect.
And you can see a little clearer now what's going on there. You can absolutely see that these are definitely Gundren and his traveling companions' horses. You can definitely tell that.
Okay.
So you know for sure that that's what's there. So you can see that some definitely who your benefactor most likely has been taken out, or at least injured in some way, because you don't see any bodies there. There are
exactly,
no bodies.
There are
just horses. There are just horse bodies. So you
just
can't,
horses with feathered arrows.
Yes,
that are shoddily made.
Yeah,
shut to them.
Absolutely
empty saddlebags.
And also you notice that nearby there's like an empty leather map case. Look, it's like cylindrical. Looks like it could definitely hold a map, but it's
okay.
Empty.
Okay.
Brian. Obviously, like when you snuck up there, you snuck there because you saw like maybe the brush was a little bit off on the other side of the road, right? So, do you want to try to tell if there's anyone, if there any more about that?
I do.
Yeah.
So you would roll a perception check then.
Okay.
Or an investigation check.
16.
Is that with your modifier?
No, that's before it.
So it's 18. 18. All right. So you see as if there is no brush there, and what you see, you can just make out. In the brush, you can see, you can't really tell, like, you know, what color they are necessarily, but they're like little, sort of little, on the little side, squat creatures. They have sort of like ugly, sort of tense faces, big ears. And you know, because you know, you've dealt with the underbelly of Neverwinter, Henley.
Yep.
You know that these are probably goblins. There are probably goblins hiding in the brush next to the road.
Can I ask you, do goblins have arrow proficiency? Do they know that That's weapon?
What I was just about to
I don't
ask.
Know, Brian. Maybe they... I don't know.
So let's find out.
We don't know.
Well, no. Not now. I don't want to find out as I'm the only soldier. Yeah.
So... So,
now how is Henley going to get this information back to us?
That's up to Henley. What does Henley want to do now?
Henley, you need to come back from report. So,
let me verify. I've just surveyed the area.
Yes.
And I know the deal. I've come to these conclusions, but I'm still how many feet away from my people?
So, you're now about 20 feet away from the people.
Okay.
You know that there is almost like an ambush waiting for you on the side of the road right by the horses.
I'm gonna play it real safe and, for lack of a better term, lame, and do the same thing I did before. I'm going to go back the other 100 yards and flank it again and get back to the caravan.
All right, you got to throw another stealth check, Brian.
Oh, shit.
To see if he can get back to us without getting caught.
Because now he's 5 feet away from the assailants. Right. And he was a freaking ninja getting up there.
Right.
But it doesn't need to be a freaking ninja getting back.
When he goes running back screaming. Yeah.
Guys!
All right, here's the roll. Here's the roll.
Lady! Okay.
Oh, shit.
What?
It's a 2.
Oh! And you have a modifier, right?
Plus 2, so it's a 4.
It's a 4.
Still not good.
Yeah, so you basically go to walk away and you like trip over your own feet and stumble, but not just like fall right down. You sort of like do one of those like airplane with your arms things.
Okay.
and sort
Chevy
of
Chase in
oh,
the first season,
Henley.
Yeah.
And sort of fall out of the brush. Not right by the way, because you got a little bit. You're able to walk a little bit. You're probably now about 10 feet from the horses, you're on the main path, and you're 10 feet away from your people, but also 10 feet from the horses. But as soon as you plunk down on the ground, these goblins hop out of the woods.
I need help.
Yes, you do.
You definitely need help.
Julian, do we help Henley?
Can I yell for my people?
You can absolutely, that's a free action. You can absolutely yell for your people. So you see 3 goblins pop out of the woods.
Okay.
One has a crossbow, a little crossbow, and 2 of them have like little swords. Okay. They're going to go on there.
Okay. Look, little beans.
3 of them.
3 of them.
is that your like cool how, like action movie?
how big exactly are these goblins? Are we talking?
How big exactly are these beans?
So they're small and squat.
Yeah, they're, you know,
but
they're
quick.
Yeah, so they're, so I mean, that's something you're going to have to check. I can't just tell you that.
Okay. Let's check it.
But you know, they're probably like 4.5 feet high. It's 4.5 feet tall. But you know, they're dangerous. They're still dangerous. You know, they're kind of like coyotes in a lot of ways. Yeah. So mm-hmm. so Henley, you want to yell out, Henley?
I do.
So do it.
Thrice.
Henley.
Julian. What? I'll need some help. I need some help.
So Henley and Thrace.
Right now.
So Thrace and Julian see these 3 goblins pop out. They look. They see Henley laying face first on the ground.
Yes.
Balls in the dirt, screaming as these goblins walk out. So now what we have to do is we have to roll initiative.
Okay.
So initiative is the order of battle. So basically what will happen is you'll all roll, I believe it's a D20. Yeah, it's a D20. You'll roll a D20. And so will I. And I'm rolling for all the goblins. So all 3 of the goblins will act at the same time.
And that
time.
Was a question I wanted to ask earlier, but yeah. I just assumed it, like you handle the enemies,
yes.
Right?
I handle the enemies completely. Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely. I do. All right. So you guys can just roll. Just tell me the numbers you got.
14.
17.
And add your modifier to it if you have an initiative modifier, which is your dex modifier, by the way.
I roll a 5, so it's a 7.
That's okay. This is just order of battle. So
15.
Bob?
17.
Good job, Henley.
So here's how, and we didn't talk about this yet either. This is how like a turn works, basically. All right. It's you have your speed on your character sheet. That's your movement.
30. Yeah.
30 feet. So you can move 30 feet and you can do one action, basically. Okay. So, and the movement.
I can get to him then.
Yeah, the movement you can spread out. So you could be like, I run up 15 feet, I hit him with my Warhammer, and then I run away 15 more feet if you wanted to do that. Okay. You can also do stuff like, okay, like, and I, you know, I put my shield up after you attack or whatever, if that you want to finish up movement that way. If you're prone, like Brian is, right now, you have to spend half of your movement getting up.
Okay.
So Brian could basically move 15 feet after he got up. I think your movement's, your speed's 30,
it's,
right?
It's 30.
It's 30, yeah. So you have to spend half of that to get up. The distance is going to, we're going to have to figure out how much distance is going to matter to us as we go along here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not going to matter. I might just make it matter in like situations like this where if you're 100 feet away, obviously you can't just do whatever you want to do.
But right now, like Hendley can get up and run behind me.
Yeah, yeah, right. He could. He could, but he doesn't go yet. He's last.
Oh, dear.
So he can't get up until after we do stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So Bob is first in the order.
Okay.
I guess Julian is first in the order.
I have a plan, being a wizard.
Okay, so you're about what do you say, 20 feet away from him right now. 10 feet away from him, 20 feet away from the goblins. And you're at the cart, and he's face down about halfway between you guys.
Yes.
So what do you want to do?
I have a poison spray spell, and it says...
And is this a spell or a cantrip, by the way? Is it level 1 or level 0?
Level 0.
Okay, so you can use this at will whenever you want. Okay. Constitution saving throw for me, and then you roll a 1d12 for the damage.
Now, is there any other options here, Bob? Because that is one creature, and we're facing three.
I don't know if he'll have any like
good point.
He can spread out. And also like most of these battles you're not going to be able to take out more than one at one time.
But can you aim at one particular goblin?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you need to aim at the ranged goblin, right? Because he's the only one that can really do us any damage in the position we're in right now.
And I should say that they popped out, and they're not really saying in a row. There's like the two kind of sword-wielding ones, the schmichter, scimitar, whatever.
Yeah.
Ones are kind of so like 2 feet in front, and then the guy with the short bow is about like a couple steps behind.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you want to just aim at the one with the short bow. You want to run up about 15 feet or whatever.
Take the guy who can hit us from long range.
Yeah, take that. So you're gonna cast...
one poison spray.
So I have to do a constitution saving throw. I got to roll a d20 here. Let's see. He rolled a 10, and that's not going to do it. It's going to hit. So you roll 1d12 damage.
One of these.
Yeah, one of those. Go ahead and roll it up.
Nine.
So like a little green like dart comes flying out of your finger. Hits squarely, hits the farthest goblin with the bow and arrow, does 9 damage, and he's not looking good. He's a little, he's bloodied, he's definitely bloodied. Then they a little bit like, breathing a little heavy, not done, mm-hmm. but definitely hurt.
Incapacitated.
He's gonna need to take a minute.
Incapacitated. All right, next up in the order is Thrace.
Thrace. Okay. All right, so I'm gonna run in front of.
So you're going to attack the goblins with your Warhammer.
Yes, I am.
So you have to roll to see if you hit. So you have to roll a d20.
13. And then any modifier?
Oh, strength modifier.
Strength modifier is a +3.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
Nice. Nicely done. There you go.
So now you have to roll the damage dice for your Warhammer.
1d8 +3.
Yeah.
11 +3 is 14.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, the woods.
Which one did you swing at, by the way?
I went for a new sword wielding.
Let's see, the sword on the left, let's say.
Yes.
All right. Your warhammer, you pick it up and you like.
Did I crush him? Just
you basically, you know, like when you're playing like Street Fighter and you do like a big kick and it like just knocks him down on the ground.
Yes.
That's definitely what you did. It's not dead. But he might as well be dead.
Okay. Right. Wishes it were dead.
Yeah, he definitely wishes. You know, like you know how like all the criminals that like Batman beats up in the Arkham games, where he basically breaks all their necks.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't kill anybody.
Yes.
That's basically who you are right now.
Okay.
This thing,
unless you're Affleck.
Yeah. This thing will never be the same ever again.
Walk with a limp.
I feel good.
Its wife will always be, can we do an open marriage? Like,
friendly.
It's going to be drinking.
You can't give me what I need.
It's going to be drinking its food through a straw, whether or not it walks away or not from this thing.
Henley, get up.
Henley is not up yet.
Henley, get up. You're on.
It's the goblin's turn.
I'm trying.
So, let's see what we got here. All right.
So we have one is like half on the way out. The other one is pretty much like squishy.
Yeah.
But there's one.
Which, to be fair, you said earlier, like, oh, we can't get all three of them. Like, we're on the path.
We are.
You're doing pretty well. You're doing pretty well.
Yes. But you are still, unfortunately, lying in the mud.
We did our job.
Good job, Henry.
I believe it was balls deep in the mud.
Oh, Julian, are we going to have to spend this entire time rescuing Henley?
It does seem that way, doesn't it? But a man's got to know his limitations, and now we know his.
You guys are just gabbing.
We knew his anyway.
We're vamping here.
The man's name is Lil Peen. I'm not sure exactly what we expected in the first place.
So
it's a family name.
Not a great hire, was it?
The goblin in the back gets ready to shoot his bow and arrow at Julian. So I'm going to roll to see, and you have to tell me if this beats your armor class or not, Bob. All right.
Okay.
6.
11.
All right. So the arrow sort of like you sort of like matrix, like just kind of like bob with the arrow, but not like the really tough matrix, you know, when it's like Neo on the bullets,
right.
You're like the agent. You just kind of like moves the head to move the fist, and the arrow kind of swings by your head. And it sticks into the side of the cart behind you.
Disdain, I watch it.
Yeah. So that goblin's done. So this other goblin, the one that's not crying on the ground with its face planted in there, is
the one who's not worrying about how am I going to provide my family now?
My goblin family comes at Thrace.
That's a mistake. Right. Yeah, it's definitely.
It just makes it raised. It's gonna roll. You tell me. Beat your armor class, Jack.
Oh, buddy.
All right, here we go. It's gonna be.
Which one am I rolling?
I'm rolling. What's your armor class?
Oh, okay. My armor class is 18.
Oh God. Jesus.
Bad move, goblin boy.
8 plus 4, that is 12. So that
does
not.
Did you bounce off of
it? He did all his strength. All his strength, he brings the smitter down on you, and it just sort of like clangs off.
Yeah, this was.
And he sort of like.
I'm picturing the highway scene in Deadpool.
Yeah, sort of like cartoon, like just like.
Wile E. Coyote.
Stumbles back. And then the one on the ground sort of he pushes himself up. He's got one hit point left, and he just sort of lunges again at Thrace. So.
Wow.
Let's see, here we go. Rolled a 3.
Mush.
Did he die whilst hitting my armor? Yes.
Plus 4 is only 7. So
that's the most British thing I've heard in like a year.
Again, swings, but this is very like limp. It like basically just like he misses you and like kind of again falls down like face first right in front of you.
And now it's my turn.
No, now it's Henley's turn.
I need to live.
So Henley, what are you going to do?
Henley, run away.
Could you get up,
Henley?
Man?
Henley, get up and come stand behind me, please.
I'm coming.
So are you going to get up?
It's going to cost me 15 feet, but I'm going to fuck off.
Henley is going to come stand behind me.
Please.
Well, now, how do I get that 15 feet? How do I get there?
So right now, everything's really close, all right? So you stood up, and you're basically standing like basically right behind already Thrace, and basically just like right next to her, maybe a little in front of Julian. The goblin, the one, there's the one that's like face first in the dirt, who is just moaning, is like, is maybe like 3 feet in front of you, Brian. Okay. And then the one with the bow and arrow is probably 5-7 feet. Still a danger, but he looks worse for wear for sure.
He's bloodied, but not out of the count.
And just so you guys know, when I say bloodied, it's going to be sort of code for more than half damaged.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm never going to say like there's 15 hit points. That's stupid. But
sure.
That's what I'll say. And then if it's really low, I'll be like I said, barely moving, you know, the edge of death. So what do you want to do, Brian?
Henley, could you please do us a favor and take out the one that's almost dead as it is.
That's about your speed, pal.
Yes. Do you think you could manage that?
I'm gonna crush that bugger with my foot.
Are you gonna do a non? Because you can do a non
non-weapon
thing. Non-armed attack. No. It's just your strength.
No, I want to use my weapons. I got arrows.
Are you gonna shoot him?
He's laying on the ground, man.
I got arrows. Why would I not use them?
So what's the damage on your bow and arrow?
1d6 piercing.
1d6, Brian. That's what you're going to roll. And your proficiency bonus. So it's going to be what, +4?
Correct.
So put +4 in attack bonus. And in damage type, you're going to put
1d6.
+2.
Oh, it's 1d6 +2.
Yeah. So the attack.
Why is that?
So that, because that's your proficiency, your dexterity bonus. So what will happen is you're gonna roll a d20 to see if you hit, Brian. And you're going to add that attack bonus to it.
Why am I doing a d20 when it's a 1d6?
Because you have to see if you hit first, and then you deal damage.
Okay.
So you're rolling against the everyone has an armor class, just like you have an armor class.
All right, here we go.
All right.
It's a 10.
Plus your, plus what? 5, right?
Well, it was 4.
Plus 4. Oh, okay, plus 4. Yeah, you miss.
Oh, Hendley.
This goblin is laying on the ground 2 feet away from you. You draw your bow and miss.
Can I try again?
No.
Why not?
Because you have one.
I got more arrows.
You have one attack per turn.
You're about to get schooled by a goblin.
So you have, but you do have 15 feet of movement left. So if you want to book away,
I want to run like.
Hendley, like come hide behind me.
Okay, so you're gonna run 15 feet back?
Thrace is my shield. So I want her in front of me.
She's already in front of you. So you're gonna, but she's right in front of you, and then there's a goblin right there. So do you want to run away?
Run away!
Yes,
so
yes I do.
So you're gonna run 15 feet back. So you're about 20 feet away from the goblins at this point. Thrace is still all up in there. And Julian is still there, and it's Julian's turn.
Oh, Julian. So you need to, me and you need to take out these goblins.
What do you want to do, yeah. Julian?
Let's see. What else?
Is there one fairly healthy goblin? There is, right?
Yes.
There's one squishy, one half dead, and one healthy, right?
There's one that's not even hit. Yeah, there's not one that's not even hit.
How close am I? Okay.
You're right there. You're a couple feet away. You're probably like 5 feet away from the goblins.
I actually am not bad with the light crossbow.
Okay.
Yes. Julian, which one are you going for?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you should try and finish off the one that's half bloodied.
Okay. Go for
it. I think the one that's almost dead on the floor isn't much of a danger, and I think if we can get rid of one, that's one less attack against us.
Sounds like a plan, Frank.
Mm. Oh, okay. So you're going to go for the bow wielding one again. Okay.
Yes.
So you roll a d20 and you add your attack modifier.
+3?
+3, yep.
Okay.
Oh, 19. Yes.
+3? Yeah, that hits.
Oh, yes, Julian, that hits.
It is but open to your hit, so roll your damage die for that crossbow.
Which one is
it should
one?
Say on there. It should say on the, right by the, it's,
D8.
+1 on 7?
Eight.
So you unleash this crossbow, you hit this goblin right between the eyes.
Julian, thank goodness for you.
And it falls down absolutely dead.
Oh, perfect.
We're a team.
So
yes,
goblin,
Julian.
What are we doing with this
Hendley? Yes.
Bowie McGoblinson is dead.
I guess we're just going to have to drag him along with us.
Yeah.
And now it's Thrace's turn.
Yes. So Julian, some advice back. Should I try and take out the healthy one to stop his attack?
Well, the healthy one is how far away? Right on top of
right
it?
There.
Right there.
I think I can make a good hit on him with my warhammer.
Yeah, just crush him.
Okay,
I will hit
him with my warhammer.
Okay, roll your d20 and add your attack modifier too, which is +5.
+5.
Jesus.
Oh, I rolled a 20.
Oh, that's a critical hit. It would hit no matter. So a critical hit. Even if the armor class of the character was 25 or 26,
right,
you would still hit.
Nice.
Because it's a critical. So you hit no matter what, roll your damage die.
It's like a max bonus.
So that's the 8.
And I guess, you get to roll 2 damage die.
28. 5.
Twice. You can roll twice.
Oh.
And a 1.
So 6 plus?
Plus what?
3.
Strength?
No, okay. Yeah, plus 3.
Oh,
it's
plus
there.
3. So yeah. 9.
Okay. You send that Warhammer back and you smack it right across the face. It sort of spins around, and when it turns back, it's very bloody. Okay. But prepares itself again for battle.
Okay, we need to prepare for a hit, Julian.
Yeah. Well, it's Hindley's turn.
It's the goblin's turn. The goblin's turn. But the goblins are much more worse for wear than the last time we went around on this one.
Their health is way down.
So, the goblin with one, the goblin who's almost dead, pulls himself up again, and basically makes headway right for Julian. So it's going to roll to see if he can hit Julian.
How is your defense, Julian?
I have an 11.
Brace yourself, Julian. Yeah. Brace yourself.
It's 8 plus 4. It's 12.
Ooh.
That hits. And it gets to roll 1d6 plus 2 slashing damage. 6 damage.
Slashing damage.
Is that all your health?
Where is my health?
Your health is your current hit points.
6. Oh.
6. So they take. Not dead. Knocked out.
Oh no!
Knocked out. And if you want to write so you guys can keep track,
okay.
You're full on health, so you're fine. Okay. Bob is at 0 now.
I'm at 0.
Just write it below. Okay. You keep like the. Okay. Yeah, you got what I'm saying? Yes, exactly, Bob.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm good.
Yeah. You're good. So you're fine. You're just knocked out. What happens is you're gonna have to make. They call them death saving throws.
Okay.
Or if someone has a potion or something or a spell,
they do myself, but I'm not.
You can't hold on yourself.
Or if Hendley could actually be some help.
I've tried.
You can't even get up.
All right. So
no, I change voices. Give me a break.
So I gotta tell you, Julian's. You look at Julian, and he's just like on one knee, basically. Seems like he could be unconscious there.
I'm on my own right now.
You're on your
yes.
You're on your own right now. So the other guy, the one that's bloodied but still not that bad, comes right for you because you're all that's left.
Yep.
Because
Hendley ran.
Because Scaredy McPants ran too far away. So it's gonna roll and attack you with its scimitar. Ooh, that's a critical.
You mean Scaredy McPants?
It's a critical hit. It's a 20. So,
oh my all right. Goodness, I'm not going down to a goblin.
2d6. All right. A 5 and a 4. It's 9. 9 points of damage.
Okay.
No, 11 points of damage. Is it all your damage?
I have 1 left.
Oh boy. You're not doing too hot. And it's all up to Hendley.
Is it my go?
No, Hendley goes after the goblins.
What?
So you've got, so Hendley, you look at, you survey the battlefield. One of your people is down. One of them looks very worse for wear.
Oh.
You're just seeing these dollar signs flying away from you. Like this is like, you're not going to make your money at all. You've got one.
I got a job, dude.
That's his only motivation.
You've got one
money.
Goblin. It's his head just like the one that's like almost gone. It's like, again,
I
like,
want that head.
It's on one knee. And then you've got the other one that's bloodied, but still is ready to freaking fight right now.
Okay. Well, who's the one who's the bigger threat?
Well, I mean, right now,
the bloody one,
both of them are basically equal at this point.
Hendley, this is a very, this question might not matter if you can't shoot your arrow.
Oh God, two daggers. Mm.
2 feet away.
From 2 feet away, yes.
I want my daggers. I want them both in these goblins' eyes.
Which goblin are you going for?
Both, but first, the closest one.
You can only attack one, Brian.
I know. But I want the closest one first.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right, the closest
I'll
one
take
first.
Care of business later.
So you're gonna go the you're gonna put that's laying its face down in the dirt, or the one that's bloodied and breathing heavy?
No. I want the one that's still up.
Okay.
The one on its feet.
So you run up.
The one that can still give me a problem.
The one that you run up about 15 feet, and you get ready to attack with your two daggers. Now, what's your damage on the daggers, Brian?
I have to look. It's a plus two with a 1d4.
Okay, and you have two of them?
I do.
So I think you would roll 2d4s and add,
correct.
And add 2 points to that. But first you got to roll to see if you actually hit them. So roll a d20.
Thank fucking Christ, 15.
So yep. Roll your 2d4s.
First was a 2.
Okay.
Second is a 4.
Okay, and you add 2 to that.
2 to each.
2 to each. So that's a pretty good hit.
So it's a 4 and a 6.
4 and a 6. So you get 10 damage. And you went for the one that was still up, right?
Yes.
Correct.
You run up and you do like the sort of like spinning, like, you know, kind of like pirouette. And you slice the throat. And he grabs at his throat and...
I have a family too.
And then he just...
Wait, this is the one that was lamenting his life?
Yeah. What, this is the other one that wasn't lamenting his life. This is the one that...
Okay. Now he is.
But he heard the other one lamenting his life, and he was like, hey, I want to get in on the action too.
I'm married as well.
Yeah. Take a look at yourself, and then falls down dead. So,
is that my daughter in there?
So that's it for Henley's turn. And now...
I did something for once.
You did. You took out a goblin.
Thank goodness.
To be fair, it was my fault in the first place.
It's true. Like, it's true.
This wouldn't have happened.
Twice.
If you hadn't have fallen out of the undergrowth and tripped onto your face,
I missed an arrow from 2 feet away.
Fixing a problem that you caused does not make you a hero.
I'm looking up death saving throws right now because I don't remember how to do them.
Whenever you start your turn with 0 hit points, you must make a special saving throw called a death saving throw to determine whether you creep closer to death or hang on to life. Unlike other saving throws, this one isn't tied to an ability score. You're in the hands of fate now, aided only by spells and features that improve your chances of succeeding on a saving throw. Roll a d20. If the roll is a 10 or higher, you succeed. Otherwise, you fail. A success or failure has no effect by itself. On your third success, you become stable. On your third failure, you die. The successes and failures don't need to be consecutive. Keep track of both until you click 3 of a kind. Mm-hmm. The number of both is reset to 0 when you regain any hit points and become stable.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's good. All right, so that's the way. You have to roll a d20 and roll, see if you get a 10. Yeah, you can see if you get a 10, Bob.
Oh, and...
8.
8.
Okay. Eight. And a 1... If you roll a 1, it counts as 2 fails. If you roll a 20, you get regain 1 hit point.
All right, just keep rolling.
No. I think it's each turn.
Yes.
Okay.
It's each turn, so you're good. That's your roll. So you have 1 failure. Yeah. We probably won't get around to it, but this is good that we're just learning what it means. All right, Thrace, you're up.
Okay.
So there's only one goblin
there's
left.
There's only one goblin. I am gonna smack that fucker in the face with a warhammer.
Somebody else curse!
All right, here we go. Let's roll a d20. Yeah, roll a d20.
I got 20.
Got 20. That's a critical hit. So roll 2.
You got 20?
Yeah. I did get a 20.
Yeah.
And then
bangarang.
Roll 2.
2 d8s.
D8s. A 5.
Yeah.
And a 5.
It's 10 plus your...
Plus my strength on both.
It's your strength on here.
Oh, on here.
Plus 3.
Oh,
yeah.
3. On,
three.
On both rolls.
Yeah.
16.
16. Yeah, that's dead.
It's not I pulverize it?
You basically took your hammer and just beat it until there was no, like, thing left. It's
a puddle on the floor.
It's a puddle on the floor.
I'm picturing fellowship after Boromir dies.
Yeah, no. It's it's not even a body.
It's just what happens to Tim Messenger in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's exactly what happened. Picture that situation. Instead of like a big church steeple, it's a hammer.
It's a warhammer.
Yeah. So that's it. The goblins are dead.
All right.
You guys survived.
Thank you, Thrace.
Your first
all
thing.
Welcome. I think we need to find
it's all my
in
fault.
And have a rest because poor old Julian is not looking too great.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely going to take a rest. You guys kind of sit there. You kind of catch your breath. You look around for a second. You know, there's a lot left to investigate here. There's this empty map container. There are these dead horses. And there's this kind of like, you kind of notice that just because, you know, you see where the goblins came out of. You see like a kind of a trail going off from that, leading back into the woods.
And that might be where our benefactor has gone.
Very possibly. So you see that. But at the same moment, you hear a giant booming explosion far off, and you turn your heads back towards Neverwinter, and you see a giant plumes of smoke pouring up into the air. And now, I mean, you're days away from it, and you can see them, and you can hear a very faint, even from so far away, a roar. And we'll decide next time what you guys decide to do.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
That's it for the first episode, official episode of Adventure. That was our prologue. Next week, we're going to begin the Great Cornhole Caper. So
oh,
the game is afoot next week. Thank you all for listening. Follow us at DND Adventure on Twitter. Go to TongueComBooks.com if you want to download the podcast and subscribe and leave comments on iTunes for us, because it will help us out greatly.
But be kind. We are new and we are learning as we go.
And if you're a big D&D player, please write in and let us know like your tips, yes, anything like that. We're still learning.
What we're doing wrong. That's awesome too.
And I'm sure I got a lot of stuff wrong, but we started out and we're going to go from here. So we'll see you all next time on Adventure.